Well, at this point, I want to invite everyone to take a long, deep breath. I encourage you to sit back in your pews for just a moment and let those images of Mary, Martha, and Jesus plant themselves solidly in your minds. And then, yes, take a much-needed breath as we actually ponder the paradoxical nature of this lovely scene we have just watched. Martha is busy. She is doing everything. Now, Jesus is kind of busy too. He's kind of doing something. He sits there teaching Mary. Well, no, teach. Well, no. Anyway, Mary, who appears to be doing absolutely nothing, she just sits there. Well, when Martha has had it with her sister, Jesus then turns their conflicting behavior into, yes, I believe, another confusing, if not downright confounding lesson. To be being is better than doing. To be doing is somehow lesser than being. Being, doing, doing, being, being, doing. Come on, Jesus. I ask you to help us out this morning. If Martha didn't do anything except listen to you, like Mary, who would put your supper on the table? And who'd get you ready for yet another day out in the world? Now, all of this is also confusing to us this morning when we reflect on so many other lessons in Holy Scripture that, in fact, tell us to do something. I mean, just last week, if you may remember, Jesus told the lawyer to do a lot of things, to love God, to love his neighbor, to love himself. And then, of course, all that was translated into what we call the parable of the Good Samaritan. And when you take that story apart, there was a whole lot of action going on. Looking at that lesson means that a whole lot was going on. Over and over again, we Christians, to be told to get out there and make a difference. That to be a Christian means doing Christian things. That faith without works is dead. So again, Jesus, if Mary has chosen the better part, and that's all that her sister Martha needs, what about us? What is the one thing we need? Well, I think clearly this Sunday, you and I are being challenged by our Lord and Savior to put those things we may be doing into some kind of perspective. We are being asked to evaluate our own Christian lifestyles and to determine if we too might be like the dutiful Martha. Have we perhaps become so preoccupied with our daily religious duties and tasks that we have forgotten why we're doing what we're doing and who we're doing them for and who we're doing them to? Are we so involved with doing Christian things that we've forgotten that our primary responsibility is, in fact, to be wholehearted, responsive Christians? You and I actually have but one major task as Christians in this extremely troubled world, and that is to allow the Christ that dwells within us, within each one of you, within all of us, as being the integral essence of, in fact, yes, our being, to be the motivating force of our daily lives, to be the motivating force that enables us to be better than we are and to assist our communities and our world to be better than they are. Well, so saying, last weekend, I attended a remarkable event in Hot Springs, North Carolina. It was called, I think rather unlikely, the Wild Goose Festival. And what it did was it brought together, and I quote from their 142-page program booklet outlining the event, it brought together people of all faiths or no faith to join us in seeking the common good in an atmosphere that fully affirms and celebrates people of every age, ethnicity, gender, gender expression, sexual identity, education, bodily condition, religious affiliation, and economic background, particularly those who are most often marginalized. And then addressing this marginalized, the festival further stated that it might mean moving beyond some kind of nice belief to center ourselves in justice and compassion and to walk towards those in need, acknowledging our own privilege and actively using our power to alleviate suffering and achieve wholeness. And yes, that kind of silly name, Wild Goose. Well, as famously wild and unpredictable and awkward as all of those geese may be, that gaggle usually sticks together, and they share common direction as they loudly honk their corporate encouragement to one another. Now, to go further, there were between 3,000 and 4,000 people present at this festival. And they were indeed, they were all ages, all sizes, all colors, all shapes, all denominations, all identities. And honestly, to say that this approaching 78-year-old white father of three, grandfather of seven, upper middle class, basically traditional aging priest was not somewhat nervous walking into the middle of that would be an understatement. I was the white guy in the room. There were a lot of white folks there, but I really was white. I might also point out, I suppose to prove it to myself, that I did this on my own. And other than a few of the speakers, I saw only one person that I knew during my 2 days there. It was quite a weekend. But now then, having taken this pulpit and eclipsed the earlier biblical image of Jesus, Martha, and Mary with now a contemporary image of 3,000 to 4,000 plus honking people gathered to make a difference in a muddy campground surrounded by multiple preachers, teachers, musicians, and artists, I want to put those two scenes together. They are connected in so many wonderful ways, but perhaps the best way to do it is to take us not back to the gospel lesson, we're bathing in that this morning, but to look at Colossians. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things, in heaven and on earth, were created, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Now that in itself is a whole lot to think about. That is another picture to take upon us. But I want to hold up one particular little part of it. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In other words, and these, of course, are now mine, this translates into the fact that if one is in Christ, and Christ is, in fact, I firmly believe and know, in us, then we are one. We are spiritually one and physically one. We are connected. We are one being. So then, we are actually, you and I, both Martha and Mary. Yeah, we're both of them. We're busy and we're sitting at his feet. The issue is, of course, that when we become, you know, busily over-functioning, and we clergy are really good at that, as Martha was doing, we may well lose the spiritual essence of who we are, that whole being that is within us. But then when we sit there and rest on our proverbials, as Mary is doing, we may inadvertently become so enamored with our spiritual, quote-unquote, better part, that we forget that our Lord is placing it within us for a purpose. A life in Christ will always be a bit of a paradox. And it will always call for us to work on some kind of balance between being and doing every day of our lives. And no, I have never thought, nor will I ever think, that being a Christian is easy. It is not. But it certainly helps us be that whole wonderful, messed up, complex being that God has, in fact, put us on this earth to be. One of my favorite verses of Scripture is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything has passed away. Everything has become new. And, of course, this statement leads us next into being called out as ambassadors for Christ. But it also directs us then into Christ's ministry of reconciliation. And that is why we need both Martha and Mary. And that is why we may celebrate the new creation that was so visible in last week's Wild Goose Festival, with its gathered gaggle of people of, again, every age, ethnicity, gender, gender expression, sexual identity, education, bodily condition, religious affiliation, and economic background. And so, yes, again, sit back in your pews and take a deep breath. But now I pray that you are doing that not with so much confounded confusion, but instead with unbridled gratitude to God for who we are and who we're becoming, and with gratitude for all of those around us, whether we know them or not, who help us be the desperately needed of Christ in a world that needs both our being and our doing, that needs us there as the one glorious image of God. Amen.